Well, and all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen and amen. What a sweet, sweet song. What a sweet service. What a sweet time. We're so glad that you're here today. And we've got several guests today. And be sure, church family, if you see somebody who's a guest, to welcome them personally. And that'll go a long way in making them feel warmly welcome here at Calvary. I was looking around to see if a couple of very special girls were here today. Let me see. They're not. You did a great job with that. Look at your bulletin, would you? On the inside cover, on the inside of the evening service. And it shows the picture of Taylor and Peyton. And I'm just so proud of all of our young people. But I wanted you to know, and we wanted you to know, that the Lord has wonderfully blessed our church family with a young lady who just finished nursing school and has got her degree and is now working at Labana something, CVICU, the step down unit. And when you see Taylor, let her know how proud we are of her. And Mom and Dad, we're proud of you too. And you probably for years have suffered maltuition. Maybe you'll get a break now. And then Sweet Peyton, our volleyball star. I thought about her as I watched the Olympics this week. And she and her team won the state league. And she was one of three of her team named all-tournament team. And we just got some special folks. And the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree, does it? God bless you, sweet family. We love you and we're proud of you and happy for you. And we're proud. You know, somebody said it takes a village to raise a child. And so thank all of you for investing in the lives of our precious young people. Well, I want you just to be aware of a little background for the message this morning as I invite you to look with me to John's Gospel, chapter 2. And you realize from time to time I'll make mention of a sermon that perhaps is a repeat sermon, and this is one of those this morning. But that's all right, because the last time I preached from this text that I can recall was 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago. And if you remember it from 2 years ago, you've got a good memory. But I'm between sermon series. We just finished the book of Romans. And we are seeking the Lord for what we're going to do going forward for the next few weeks. And a thought came to me while I was in the study this last week, and that was, why don't we just do a pastor's favorite summer series? There are some passages that just are special, and of course they ring your bell and they bless your heart, and John chapter 2 is one of those messages. Several years ago I was preaching at a state convention meeting, had the privilege of preaching at several of those, and Johnny Hunt was there. And if you know Johnny Hunt, he's a pastor in Georgia, one of the Southern Baptist most beloved pastors, Johnny Hunt. And he preached right after I preached. And again, I preached from this text. I preached this sermon. I preached this title and this passage. And Johnny Hunt came to me and said, Jackie, do you mind if I preach that when I go and preach at the convention at a certain day? And I said, help yourself. Clean it up. Maybe you can do something with it. And he sent me a copy of the sermon that he preached, and he sure did a lot better job than I did. But Johnny Hunt is a great servant of the Lord. But I want to share with you this morning a message entitled, When Jesus Shows Up. And it's taken from the first recorded miracle of our Lord in a little place that's kind of obscure in biblical geography, a little village called Cana. About some commentators say it's 8 miles north of Nazareth, and others say it's 4 to 5 miles north, what, northeast. But it's in the area near where Jesus grew up. He grew up, of course, in Nazareth, and Cana is a place. Apparently, some of Jesus' kinfolk live there. Some of his relatives live there. We think that's the case because there was a wedding, and Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And at that wedding, Jesus turned the water into wine. Now, I wonder how many times you've heard a sermon by a preacher about when Jesus turned the water into wine. Probably not too many, just maybe a few, but it's because it's kind of an obscure passage. But I want to tell you, it is full of wonderful gospel truth. When Jesus shows up, now we could have invited Bartimaeus to come and share his testimony about what it was like to be blind and Jesus touched him, or any of the woman at the well, what it was like when Jesus gave her living water, what it was like when Nicodemus came and gave his life to the Lord and replaced his religious lifestyle with a spiritual saved lifestyle. Jesus shows up. He always, when he showed up, did something marvelous, memorable, and magnificent. And this morning, I just want us to think together about what happens when Jesus shows up, beginning in chapter 2 of the Gospel of John. And we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Just follow along with me, please, as I read. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called or invited and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother, that is when they had run out of wine, run out of refreshment, Jackie Kay's version says, when they ran out of punch, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus said unto her, saying, it sounds like Jesus' response is a little strange, but let's look at it and think about it for a moment. And Jesus said unto her, woman, now, I don't recommend, sir, you refer to your wife as a woman, but that's all right if you do. Jesus did, it's all right. What have I to do with thee? In other words, what is it that you need me to do? Mine hour is not yet come. Jesus seized every opportunity to try to communicate to the disciples and those around him that he came not just to perform good works, but he came to die, the just for the unjust, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And his mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now that'll preach right there. Whatever he says unto you, just do it. Folks, Jesus will show up every time we follow those suggestions. Whatever he says unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone. I was in somewhere, I forget where it was, several years ago. And there was a display, an archaeological display. And there was a clay pot. And I was told it was a clay pot that they think was much like what Mary and Jesus had at the wedding of Cana of Galilee, probably containing 25 or 30 gallons apiece. But the water was used for the washing of the hands, washing of the feet of the guests as they came in from the dusty road, for them washing their hands in preparation for their meal. 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 or 25 or 30 gallons, 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, or the master of ceremonies. And they bear it, or they carried it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man, normally, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, or the poorer quality. Thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory. He showed up, and his disciples believed on him. In the next few moments, I want us to look at 3 wonderful questions or truths or statements or declarations from this wonderful account of the miracle. And I don't want you to miss these truths. Don't be like the little child in the first grade whose teacher was trying to teach the class the lessons of life and the evils of alcohol. And so as she carried, she said, class, I want you to watch this. And she had 2 glasses of alcohol that she poured. They said, now, y'all watch carefully. And she took an earthworm and dropped it in one of the little glasses with liquor in it or alcohol. And she dropped the other earthworm in a little glass of water. And the earthworm swam round and round and round. The teacher was so proud of her ability to demonstrate truth and the evils of alcohol said, now who can tell me what this little lesson teaches? And one little boy raised his hand and said, I know it teaches that if you drink enough, you will not have worms. Well, that child may be absolutely correct, but the truth is there are some great lessons in this wonderful story when Jesus shows up. When Jesus shows up, what do we learn? What can we know? What do we discover? Well, I want to suggest to you, when Jesus shows up, he addresses our problems. He addresses our problems. There they found the verses 1 through 5, 6 water pots of stone. They had run out of wine. And then she didn't know what they, there was no Walmart nearby. There was no way to replace that which was gone. It was a big deal. By the way, weddings are always big deals. And sir, I'd advise you, if you're around your wife as a mother or a grandmother of the bride, and they're taking care of a wedding, you should just stand clear and do what you're told to do, and you'll be all right. Weddings are big, big deals. And so to run out of punch in the middle of a celebration was the thing that was a catastrophic thing for Mary, the mother of Jesus. And so, interestingly enough, Jesus didn't come just to attend the wedding. He knew he wouldn't be needed. He made it a point to be there and be there at the particular time. And he said to his mother, Mother, what is it that you need for me to do? And he wanted her to understand that he had come to do more than just make up for the wine that was gone. He wanted to do far more than that. When Jesus shows up, he addresses my problems. You got any problems? You had any that you weren't quite sure what to do with or how to handle them or where to go? And I just want to give you a testimony. I see Bruce back here. Bruce, I want to tell you, brother, what an answer to prayer you and your family are. I love you guys. Thank the Lord for you. There have been some dark days, and maybe you've been through a dark day when you weren't sure how you were going to make it to the tunnel, the end opening of the tunnel on the other end. You weren't sure how you were going to survive the experience of the loss. You weren't sure how you were going to make it. That's what Mary was feeling. How will we continue on? How will we make it? How will this wedding come off without being a catastrophe? Well, I'm glad to tell you Jesus is in the business of addressing our problems. He cares about what's going on with us. In fact, I made myself a note I want to share with you. Jesus addresses my problems when I do three things. First of all, when I confess that I have a problem. When I take a moment and to be reflective, and I say, Lord, show me what you see in my life. Don't show me what I'm just seeing in the mirror. Show me what I need to know about where I am and what's going on in my life. Is there any area of my life, Lord, that you'd like to touch, any area of my life you'd like to make a difference in, any area that I'm spiritually blind in, I've got a blind spot, anything you want to do to touch my life in a very personal and powerful way. Jesus shows up when we confess that we have a problem. When John the Revelator wrote the Revelation, he was writing to the seven churches of Asia Minor, and he got to the church in Laodicea, and the church at Laodicea, to that church he wrote, because thou sayest, thou have need of nothing. Don't you know that you're poor and miserable and naked and wretched and blind? So many times, like the church at Laodicea, we see ourselves in a very shallow light and don't realize the Lord wants to do so much more in our lives. And he wants to do something much deeper in our lives. Jesus shows up when we address our problems, when we confess we've got them. The best day in our lives is the day we get honest with God, stop making excuses, let God show us what we need to know, and move forward with his cleansing and healing and whatever he wants to do in our lives. God addresses my problems when I confess I've got a problem and when I confirm his purpose. What is it that you need me to do? And Mary said, whatever he says unto you, do it. Jesus shows up when we take off all the restrictions and stop putting him in a box somewhere and say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do, however you want me to do it, however I can for the grace of God, by the grace of God. Let me tell you a little story. I've shared this at least in part. When I was a senior in high school, I was graduated I think when I was 17, almost 18. And I took in my senior year, I took a speech course because it was all that would fit in my schedule, and I only needed that one course to get out of high school and graduate. And I was mortified when I realized I was going to stand up in that speech class. I don't know why I was mortified. I shouldn't have been surprised. And they wanted, the teacher wanted me to give a speech. Now, I want to tell you, this is before I was called to preach. This is before I ever thought about standing in front of anybody and talking. I was mortified to stand up in front of them. And I dropped the course the day my speech was due. I could not do it. Now, today I can't find a stopping place. In the, you know that's the way I am. The truth is, little could I have known that the Lord was going to call me to preach. Call me to preach. A country boy from down the river way in Lacey Spring, Alabama. Who would have thought God would have called me to preach when I was horrified to get in front of people? But God won't ever call you, church, to do anything God doesn't enable you to do and equip you to do. And Jesus shows up when I confirm his purpose. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And Lord, I'll let you have your way in my heart and my life. Jesus shows up to address my problems when I confess I've got a problem. When I confirm his purpose, when I conform to his plan. Mary said, whatsoever he says unto you, what? Do it. Right. Whatever he says. Y'all say it with me. Do it. Do it. Well, Mary's advice is good advice to take. When Jesus shows up, he always addresses our problems. When we confirm his purpose and discover what he wants us to do, when I conform to his plan, whatsoever he says unto you, do it. I wonder if you've already said, before you know what the Lord may say to your heart, Lord, yes. There's a song like that, Lord, yes, Lord, yes. And it really says, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And I want to agree to your terms at the very beginning because you have been kind enough to show up in my place on Calvary's cross. When Jesus shows up, he addresses my problems. And by the way, if Bartimaeus could stand here, he'd say, let me tell you, if Jesus could heal the blind, whatever you're going through, Jesus is an enough God. Then maybe you're going through a relationship struggle, or maybe you're going through a physical problem, maybe you're going through a stronghold issue in your life, whatever it may be, whatever your problem may be, I want to tell you, we've got a God who's big enough and wise enough and gracious enough. He's an enough God. He always addresses our problems. Our problems are not a barrier between us and God. They're a stepping stone to discover the goodness of God and the storms of life. Number one, when Jesus shows up, he addresses our problems. Number two, when Jesus shows up, he will affirm our purpose. Affirm our purpose. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Have you ever thought about that passage? We as Christians who are saved by the grace of God, choir, we as Christians have the gospel living within us. And who are we? We are earthen vessels. We're water pots. Now, some of us may look more like water pots than others, but the truth is, that's all right. Water pots are a good thing. A good thing. Jesus addresses my problems and affirms my purpose, you see. You may not have Miss America written across your door, but you're still beautiful in the eyes of God. You may not have Mr. Most Successful, Most Likely to Succeed. I can guarantee you at Huntsville High School, I was not voted Most Likely to Succeed. In fact, nobody but a handful of folks knew who I was. They didn't know about the Tennessee River down the road. But the truth is, God's got a plan for us, and you're somebody in God's eyes, and God's got a plan to bless you and minister to your needs and use you for his glory. When vessels affirm his purpose, when they are purged, these vessels are going to be used for drinking water, and so they, of necessity, would have had to be clean. We don't need to ask God why God doesn't use us unless we're serious about being clean and whole before him. Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there's any wicked way in me. What is it about my vessel that God wants to use? He wants a purged vessel, a clean vessel. He wants a presented vessel. In Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. That word present is a picture of a priest laying an offering on the altar, an offering to the Lord. A presented vessel, and then a possessed vessel. Fill the water pots with water, and then fill them to the brim. The Bible says, be ye filled with the Spirit. That word filled is the word plerouste. It means overtaken by, conquered by, possessed by the Holy Spirit of God. So what's he saying? When Jesus shows up, he addresses our problems. When Jesus shows up, he affirms our purpose. He wants us to be purged vessels, clean, presented vessels, given over to his glory, possessed vessels, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with him for his glory. And lastly, when Jesus shows up, he does show out, Mark. He does indeed. He does indeed. In fact, God does more and exceedingly more than we could ever ask or think. He alters my perspective. I like this. Mary said, get this now. A while ago, she was saying, son, help, help. We're out of wine. Help. And now she's saying, after Jesus turned the water into wine, she said, you now, oh, son, you've saved the best till now. You've saved the best till now. And I thought, Lord, that's exactly what you do. You take our heartaches and turn them into victories. You take our pain and turn it into joy. You take our experiences in life and you make us more like Christ. Lord, you alter my perspective. I got to thinking about the Gadarene demoniac. Like to have heard his testimony when Jesus set him free from the bondage of those demons. We've already talked about the woman at the well and Bartimaeus or the thief on the cross. I hope the Lord lets us have testimony times when we get to glory. We're going to know everybody's testimony anyway, I believe, but wouldn't it be wonderful to hear Daniel talk about how God delivered him from the lion's den. I went to the University of North Alabama, and our mascot was a lion. And the alumni and the school has two lions and a beautiful, big, real, showing up, roar and scare the liver out of you. I mean, they're real lions. When Libby and I go back to Florence and visit, we sometimes like to go by UNA and see, Leo, that's right, I forget her name, but his name is Leo. And I'm not preaching there, I'm telling the truth, it's really happening. I was standing in that little closed-in area, looking through the glass, and Leo, this is a full-grown African lion, comes walking easily, swaying back and forth, walking over that glass, and I noticed that he tilted his hair back and his head back. I know what he was doing. He was smelling. He said, I think I smell T-bone steak. And all of a sudden, and I want to tell you, this really happened. He just took a deep breath and let out a roar. Sorry, Bobby. But Leo, that's what lions do when they announce their intentions, I guess. Leo roared. And I want to tell you, I got to thinking about those victories in the New Testament, whether it's the thief on the cross or the others, how God gave them victory over the things in life that defeated them. And Jesus alters our perspective. It saves the best for now. And I had a real good point I was going to make on Leo the lion. If it comes to me between now and this evening service, I'll do it. How many of you ever have those moments? Would you raise your hand? Thank you. When Jesus shows up, he addresses our problems. When Jesus shows up, he affirms my purpose. When he shows up, he alters my perspective. This is the testimony of the way it was then. It's the testimony of what God wants to do now. I know what I was going to do. Talk about how good God is. One of these days, the trumpet of the Lord's going to sound. The shout of God's going to echo across the heavens for the child of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air to be with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I'll look over at you skinny folks as we go through the air, and I'll say, see there, it didn't matter how many fat grams you had down here. I'm going to look over at you, and I'm going to be able to say, see there, I told you. He always saves his best for now. If you think he's been good already, just wait, he ain't through yet. Jesus wants to show up in our lives. Confess we have a problem. We need you, Lord. Confirm his purpose, your Lord, and I want to surrender to your will, whatever that is, and conform to his plan. Whatever you want for me, Lord, I receive it. I want to walk in faith and obedience, and I want you to get the glory because, Lord, you always save your best for now. That's what happens when Jesus shows up. Let's bow together.